Let's get into the message this morning before I lose my train of thought altogether. So we are fully enveloped in the holiday season now, right? It's December 12th. Thanksgiving was a couple few weeks ago, 2.5. Christmas is 2 weeks away. Somebody asked me this morning if we were ready for Christmas at the Johnson House, and I said no, because we're not. I said the kids know what Christmas is about, which is good. We have not bought any gifts. The tree is up. Nothing is yet under it, and that is, I think, driving my kids crazy, which is fun. We went and we bought some gifts for other people yesterday, and that was really fun and difficult for Evelyn, because she understands Christmas and Christmas gifts, but not why we're only buying Christmas gifts on this trip for other people. She didn't get that at all. She was not having fun on that trip at all. But we're there. We're in Christmas, and the world is running at full speed. I was in Walmart the other night to pick up dinner, and I saw no less than 4 televisions rolling through checkouts all at once. People were buying TVs. TVs are on sale, I think. Carts and lines were over full. Everybody that's been through... Rory now works at the Walmart. If you buy your groceries online through Walmart, Rory might be shopping those items. So limit your purchases of alcohol and other things that you might not want Rory to see, because she's doing that now. But carts and lines were over full. The milk racks were nearly empty, which is crazy. And I heard one guy cussing into his phone, talking to someone on the other end, exclaiming that he needed to get out of there because it was too busy, too full. He was uncomfortable. He didn't want to be there anymore, but he had to get, a whole list of things. At that moment, part of me was kind of put off because I don't use that language. I used to use that language. I used to be pretty fluent in that language. I was really good at turning it off around certain people, but I was fluent enough in the language. But now, you know, several years later, I was kind of put off. And, hey, man, you're cussing about the lines at the grocery, tire, TV, laundry store. I mean, if you was just at the Aldi, you would probably still be upset because all they sell is groceries and shoes, apparently. I found out this morning. But they sell everything at Walmart. Of course it's going to be busy there. But as I've thought about it more, I've come to the conclusion that this guy was expressing in his own personal conversation that I should not have had any part in, wasn't invited in or told to preach about it later. But he was expressing a deep, heart-wrenching, broken desire for peace. He was busy. There was so much going on. There was too much going on. It was an overwhelming place to be. There were people running around, lots of small people. There was a Jack Skeleton Santa Claus outside on stilts. It was a busy place. But his desire for peace in that moment resonated with me. He was cussing about it, which I don't recommend you do, but sometimes that happens. But his desire for peace struck me, and it was something that really stood out as I've been studying the Word and trying to get myself into a holiday spirit, which sometimes is difficult. And I want to be kind of cheerful and celebrate the things and be excited about the poinsettias and the froofing and the stuff and all of the things. There's only like one light on the nativity back there. I'm not sure how that happened. Okay. Whatever. There's only one star for Jesus' birth back there. All good things. But as I was studying myself, I really attempted to dive into the idea and the concept of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, because peace is something that we need. The human condition desires peace. We need it. And we live in a world that has very little of it to offer. Very little. And the people that are grayed or bald in the room can say, hey, it's moving faster than it's ever moved before. And that's true. The world is moving fast. Cars are fast. Nonsense is fast. Your phone has access to everything right now. Right now. Instant gratification is the way of the world. Amazon can get you anything in 2 days or less. They did just lose a whole warehouse, so that may be slowed down now. But you can still shop on eBay and other places and get things in 2 days. There's chaos everywhere. And our human condition, ourselves knowing who God is, desires peace. As we begin our Christmas celebrations, I wanted to take some time this morning and discover again what it meant to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. God, you are holy and good. There are situations that we carry with us this morning that require the Prince of Peace to intervene. God, there are situations that we come this morning with that we need your involvement in, that we need peace in. God, help us to understand what peace is, what you have to offer in peace. Help us to understand your word and to apply it to our lives. God, help me to speak well. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The book of Isaiah chapter 9 is the introduction of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. It says, nevertheless, starting in verse 1, it says, nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to Galilee of the nations. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of the oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For the trampling of the boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and to sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Amen. We have an introduction here of who Jesus is. Not only who Jesus is, but the condition of the world. Right now, as it stands, there are trampling boots of battle. We know that, right? We see that happening. We are living often in land of darkness. There is oppressive yokes and rods oppressing people. And yet there's this promise, for a child will be born. A son will be given. That allows everything else to happen and for peace to reign. Prince of Peace is one of the four names given to Messiah as prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah gave the condition of the world, a gloom-filled, distressed land. We know something about that. We know a gloom-filled, distressed land. If you were to read or listen to the news today, you'd probably find some reasons to be disturbed. I find reasons to be disturbed. And yet in this prophecy, Isaiah tells us that it will be different in the future, as he was writing then, because a child will be born. The birth of that child allows for something different. The birth of that child allows for something opposed to what we understood. That child is the one we celebrate in this season because he has been born. Since our time in the garden, mankind has lived at odds with its creator. We know who God is, and we live opposed to him. Our desire to rebel and to be our own people and to be free set us against our God. And so he sent Jesus to be born, to live, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we would be reconciled, so that we may have peace. So that we may have peace. Just so that we understand it. Peace, shalom in Hebrew, is not simply an absence of conflict. Shalom is attributed to a total well-being, prosperity, security. It meant wholeness, health, and salvation. It means to be right, in right relationship with God or with others. In almost any context, shalom was not possible by yourself. It was not something that you could accomplish on your own, but always attributed something to God and his efforts as well. Shalom was added into almost every greeting and every farewell, because that was the wish of someone onto someone else. Even in this season, when we are excited about Christmas and we are busy about the celebration, peace is something that we cannot gain on our own. It required an effort of God's, because we live in a fallen world. Even in this season when everything else seems to be going really good, and you know, our family is coming in, and our paint projects are almost done, and we're getting stuff accomplished, and we've got dinner plans, and things are going right, peace is something that we cannot grasp by ourselves, because we live in a fallen world. We've experienced pain and loss and suffering. It seemed like several years in a row, Thanksgiving for my family was really traumatic. It's like one year after another, it was just nonsense. One year, my sister lost a baby. One year, my uncle passed away. It seemed like it was just one thing after another. It was just terrible, to a point that we were hardened by it. Thanksgiving was not fun anymore. It was not a time of joy for us as a family. Thanksgiving lost its flavor. I don't get excited about it that much. It was a painful season. We had no peace. As a child, most holidays were really chaotic for me. If you've heard me talk about holiday traveling, I've probably expressed this already to you, but I had a split family. So I lived with my mom most of the time, and I had other family, and each generation above them also seemed to be broken that way. So like on my mom's side, I had like four holiday dinners that you had to attend. And then on my dad's side, you had like three or four holiday dinners that you needed to try to be at. And so you spend Thanksgiving and Christmas thereafter going from one place to another place, and you spend a couple hours over here, and you eat these rolls because they're really good here, and then you go over here, and you have a little bite of turkey because they make the turkey really good, and then you go over there, and you finally get some mashed potatoes, and you wish you would have had your roll from the first place because that would have gone really good with the mashed potatoes from the last place. And everyone's stuff was slightly at different times because they were trying to accommodate people like me, which was really frustrating. So I spent holidays going from one place to another place to another place. There was no peace in that, because we live in a broken world. Because at one point, two people really liked each other enough that I happened. And then later, they decided they didn't anymore. And so now you got to spend Christmas at two places, or at four places, to a point now where we'll have Christmas Eve at the Hortons, Christmas morning at the Johnson's house, and then my mom was going to have Christmas on one day, but now she's going to do it on a different day, and my grandparents were going to have a Christmas on one day, but now they're doing it on a different day because my mom moved her Christmas. Everybody's trying to be accommodating, but it means that there's no peace in it, because you still have so much to do. This last week, several families were displaced by an apartment fire here in town. Several. They lost everything. You see GoFundMe stuff popping up on the internet. Walmart is doing a fundraiser in their foyer there, selling stuff and giving the proceeds to those families, which is cool. But $500 gift card from Walmart is not going to replace your home. Even if it was just a little apartment at the edge of town and it wasn't all that special and you were just living there because you could, it's still your home. I'm sure by now they already had a Christmas tree up. I'm sure by now they'd already thought through, hey, this we're going to do Christmas here with grandma, and we're going to do... I'm sure by now they've already made those plans. They lost everything. The building is a loss, not only from the fire, but the water damage. Thousands of gallons of water pumped out to put out the fire. Those families will struggle to have peace. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. We struggle to have peace, and yet we long for it. We need it. God knows that. And so as prophet Isaiah spoke, the Prince of Peace is coming. And so a child will be born. A child will be born, and he will be called the Prince of Peace. And so the angel spoke to the shepherds in the fields, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. We know that as glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory to God. Peace is now possible on earth in ways that it had never been before, in that moment that Jesus was born. And that's the answer to our desire. The answer to our need for peace is Jesus and his birth. Because of that moment when Christ was born, those two things that Luke records the angels declaring happened. God was glorified, and peace was possible on earth. The shepherds went to bow before the king, giving Jesus glory. They left their flocks to go to take care of something much more important. Think about that for a second. That's their livelihood. They're leaving on the hillside to say, wait a second, there's a baby. We've heard there was coming a baby, and now there is a baby. There's a star leading us to the baby. There's a multitude of angels that's saying there's a baby. We're going to go see the baby. Explain that to your wife later. Why is half the flock missing? Well, there's a baby. God was glorified. The shepherds went to bow down. Wise men came with gifts, extravagant gifts. Very extravagant gifts. They traveled hundreds of miles to give gifts to God. The angels and the heavenly hosts declared how wonderful he is. God was glorified. And peace was possible. Suddenly man and God could be reconciled because God put his plan into place. Jesus came and lived a life among us. He was Emmanuel. We can see in Scripture that Jesus experienced life. He experienced life like you and me. He got hungry and tired. I imagine as a baby he cried, because all the babies I know cry. I like to think, I think we like to think as people that Jesus was a perfect little infant. But crying is the way that babies tell mom that they need to eat. And they tell dad, you need to go get mom. Your usefulness is over. You can't do anything else, dad. Hand it off. Cuddling is no longer the only thing that I need. The baby cried. Jesus cried. He got hungry and tired. He was cared for by a loving mother. He bled. And eventually he died. And because of that, peace is possible. Isaiah 53:5 said, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. The chastisement that brought us peace. Suddenly we can be restored. We can be at peace. We can be made whole again because of Emmanuel, God with us. Because of Jesus. Because a baby was born. And yet, if we're not careful, we can miss it. All of it. It's not the busyness that steals our peace. It's that we allow it to be so easily forgotten. And missing the peace that has been made available to us is as equal as it to have never been provided. I've heard it said that a man who does not read is no better off than a man who cannot read. Right? That makes sense. You're not taking advantage of your ability. You're no better off. A person who does not respond and embrace that peace is no better off than a person who has never experienced it. Christians can lose sight of Christmas altogether. Really easily. And lose our peace that we need so desperately. We have to respond. We have to embrace that peace. We need it. We need it. I need peace. I desire it. The other day we were sitting in the living room, and I think Elizabeth asked me what I wanted for Christmas. I said, "Babe girl, I don't need anything." Here's the reality. When I want stuff, I pretty well go buy it. And that sounds crazy, but I don't want stuff very much. Like, I needed a new hat. I went and got a new hat. It's a joke because I didn't need a new hat. I saw one. I liked it. It wasn't very much money. I bought a new hat. But, when I need a tool, usually I borrow a tool twice, and then by the third time I need one or I'm going to borrow it, I go buy one. And you can usually borrow those tools from Darren, and now Taylor is collecting some. I borrow a tool twice. If you need it more than that, you may as well try to buy it. So I work that out. So I don't need stuff. I don't want anything for Christmas. And that's what I said. It's a baby girl. I don't want anything. And Ella said, "Yes, you do." I said, "Okay." She said, "You want peace." Okay. You're not wrong. Because the thing that I say in my home when things are being chaotic is peace. When I hold my little ones, I say peace. Calm down. This is not the end. You're okay. Peace. And so Ella's response, smart as a whip. You want peace. You're not wrong. We need it. That is my response. She knows that. I love that. I want everywhere that I walk to be a place of peace. I want my influence to be one of peace. I want the wake in the water that I make to be peaceful. I want there to be peace. Glad my kids know that. At least Ella does. As we attempt to respond to the Prince of Peace, I think there are three things that we need to be doing. We need to be finding peace. We need to be making peace. We need to be sharing peace. Find those instructions in Scripture as it regards to peace. Find it, make it, and share it. Real easy things. So to find peace, peace isn't really missing. It's not like absent from you. It's not unavailable to you. It's not missing, but you may have lost it. You may have lost peace, even though it's not been taken from you. As we approach this season of grace, we should make efforts to make sure that we have peace close at hand. Because you may have stepped away from peace for a little while, forgot where you put your peace. The other day we were, was this Thursday? Thursday was a Christmas program at KCA. And we got there, we did the Christmas program, and left, went home. No, we went to Sonic, got drinks and corn dogs because they were half off, and then went home. By the time we got home, all the kids were tired. So I'm making 10 trips from the truck into the house. I got to carry a kid, got to let a dog out, carry a kid, let a different dog out, do all the things, tons of trips inside. At some point in that whole chaos, I put my keys down. On one of those trips, Now, I made like 15 trips, literally 15 trips. And I put my keys down somewhere. But here's what happened. I went into the dining room with stuff, and I thought, well, I don't want my keys to be buried under the stuff we're putting on the table. I put my keys up. Well, next morning, I was 30 minutes late for work, and I had to get a ride from my wife because I did not know where my keys were. Because in that moment, I didn't lose them, but I put them somewhere that they were suddenly not available to me anymore. I put them on the floating shelf in our dining room, which is really just decorative, but I really didn't want them to be buried under the, I didn't want to lose them. And so I put them up where I could lose them. I was literally 30 minutes late to work. I had to get a ride from Eden. I came back. I had a work truck. I had to go to Farm and Home. I stopped back by the house to grab a bite to eat on my way back from lunch. As I'm getting ready to leave, I look up at that floating shelf. There's my keys sitting there as plain as you could possibly see them, readily available, ready for me to grab them and walk out the door. But now I've got two trucks, and I had to get Robert to take me back so I could pick up my own truck, and it was a whole deal. Our peace is not missing. It's somewhere in the house. It's not far off. We just don't know where maybe we put it. We might have put it down on a floating shelf in the dining room and said, I'm going to need that later. I'm going to need that in the morning. I'm going to put it up for a second. Only to walk away from it and then sleep for 3 hours and totally forget where it's at. As we approach the season of grace, we should make efforts to make sure that peace is close at hand, that it's available to us. The Bible says that Jesus himself is our peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read four verses, 14 through 18. It says, for he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made no effect on the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those of you who are near. For through him, we both have access to one in one spirit to the Father. Jesus is our peace. He's our access to peace. He's our fountain of peace. He is our peace. He's the one who came and bridged that gap. Because the real absence of peace is between us and God. If you're walking right with him, everything else is easy. You can take it in stride. You get beat down, that's okay. Jesus got beat down. There's nothing off my back. I'm good. No big deal. You get persecuted? Jesus said I was going to get persecuted. There's no big deal. I'm good. You go hungry? Paul talked about being hungry. This is not a problem. You don't have clean clothes? Do some laundry and deal with it. It's okay if you're walking with the Lord. Sometimes because of my position here, I get to do counseling, biblical counseling. I'm not a counselor. I'm not certified as a psychologist or anything like that, but I can share with you what the Bible says about your problem, and we can talk that out. But I always start with a couple few questions, and I always get kind of the same answers from people who are in trouble. First question is, are you reading your Bible? The answer is always the same. Well, and it goes like this, not as much as I should be. Well, not as much as I should be. It's always the same. People got their life in a total mess. Now, I'm not saying that every time your life is in a total mess, you're not reading your Bible enough. But the people that come for counseling and want, Pastor, I need to talk to you because this is not going right. Okay. Are you reading your Bible? Well, not as much as I should be. This is when I like to ask. When's the last time you opened it? Well, be honest, what's the last thing you read? Well, and it digresses from there. And usually, before I go into, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to have regular weekly meetings and we're going to have conversations, I like to give an assignment. Okay, so here's some easy chapters of the Bible to read. I want you to read them. Get them into you. Digest them. We're going to read these four chapters every day together. Usually, by the time you sort that out, they don't have a problem or they're just not willing to come back and talk to me. One of those two things is true. The second question is, well, what's your prayer life like? If they say, well, but, you know, I'm reading my Bible some. There's a lot of ways you can have a dismissive answer about reading your Bible. You can say, well, I'm not reading as much as I should be. I'm not as much as I like. You know, I read it, you know, sometimes. I'm reading it pretty often. You can, a lot of dismissive answers. Next question is, what's your prayer life like? Well, not as good as it should be. It's always similar. Well, what do you pray about? Well, I like to pray about these things. Do you pray about this issue? Well, why are you talking to me? I can't help you. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4 says, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, because the Lord himself is an everlasting rock. Isaiah is saying this about God. God, you will keep. He's making a declaration. Like saying Dan and Jennifer will make good food. That's part of their nature. It's who they are. Right? God, as part of his nature, who he is as the everlasting rock, will keep the mind that is dependent on him at peace. The mind that is dependent on him, not the one that comes to him every once in a while and says, Dad, could I have $20? That's not the same as somebody who's dependent, right? The parents in the room have had dependents before, right? Dependents end up sleeping on your couch sometimes. Dependents eat out of your refrigerator. They drive your car. They use your gas money. They're on your cell phone plan. Some of you got adult children and you're like, I still got dependents. They're still on my cell phone plan. Still be paying that all that $700 a month or whatever it is. That's dependence. Dependent is not, Dad, can I have $20 once in a while? It's not coming to God saying, Dad, I got a cold. What do you think I ought to do about this cold? God, what do you think I ought to, you think I ought to do this? Think I ought to, no. Dependent is a relationship that you've developed over time where you say, God, I am your responsibility. I am your problem. When Eden and I were talking about taking all of this over and praying about all of this, I got a mindset of, hey, this is God's plan. It is his problem. He's going to pay for it. He will figure out the finances of this. He will figure out the ways and means of this, of all the things that we need to do, of supporting my family, which is not small and has gotten bigger, taking care of me, which he's doing, and making sure that we have what we need. It's his plan. It's his problem. That's a good place to live. Sometimes I forget about that agreement that I had with God, and I like to take it as my problem. At that moment, I'm no longer dependent on God. Suddenly, I'm dependent on Adam Johnson. I better go into work some more. I better go do this. I better take that side job. I better do this other thing. And I'm not saying that, I mean, most of the time that God provides for me is by me going to work. But he's provided that job. He's provided those extras. He's provided the ability to do the things. That's the way I provide. God's nature is, for those of us who are dependent on him, to keep us at peace. And then the instruction to us is to trust in the Lord forever. Because in the Lord himself is an everlasting rock. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is after a whole list of instructions of things and ways to be. But gives responsibility to God. If we're putting our hope in him. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe. We've got to be dependent. We've got to believe in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to find peace. The way that we do that is by returning to Jesus and residing there. Not trying to go out on our own and get an apartment, buying our own vehicle because we're 16 and we're cool. We don't have to get a ride from dad anymore. But being dependent. Totally and utterly dependent on God. In that, he will provide peace for you. We have to find peace. We also have to make peace. There are situations in our life that cause strife for us. Situations. I talked to you earlier about how two people used to like each other enough that I was born, and then later they didn't, and so now there's problems and more problems and more problems. At some point, some of those people could have come together and fixed something. And I'd have had two or three less Thanksgiving dinners I had to try to go to. We have to do some making of peace. There are circumstances that cause division. There are circumstances that steal peace from us. The peace that we say we got from God, we hold out in a basket and say, did you want to take this away from me? Real quick, did you want to steal this? Did you want to really irritate me and throw me off today so I'd no longer be walking in peace? I made it available to you. It's free. Take it. We allow circumstances to steal peace from us. A lot of circumstances come up between one another. The Bible tells us that it is our responsibility to make those things right. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those that go about making peace. Sometimes in my home, I've got to be loud to make peace. You got to be above the noise to say, stop. We watched through the Lord of the Rings trilogy with Ella, because Ella finally likes movies, real ones. There's a scene in that where Gandalf the wizard has to yell at Bilbo because Bilbo's getting crazy. He says, Bilbo Baggins, and he just gets really loud and mean and has to get his attention. And sometimes I feel like that at home because I have to raise my voice just enough so that they can hear you over the Legos and the Nintendo Switch and the tablet and the whatever else is going on and the dog that they're throwing the ball for in the house. And it doesn't say peacekeepers. It doesn't say people that just say, I got my little piece of peace over here. I'm just going to ignore everything else that's going on. Peacemakers, people that go out and make peace. Proverbs 17:1 says, better a dry crust with peace than a house full of feasting with strife. We're going to have dinner in here in a few moments. If we got strife, we may as well go eat the crackers off of my desk in peace instead of the feast that is prepared for us. That's literal. Instead of going in there and trying to act like we got something good going on, we ought to just go in there. I mean, they're Nabisco crackers. They're not bad. Better is dry crust with peace. Sometimes we got to go out and make some. We've got to fix things, resolve things. We're going to read nine verses in Romans chapter 12. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, he says all of that, if possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If possible, as much as it depends on you, as much as it is within your power, your ways and means, your abilities, from your side of the table, I've laid it all out. I've humbled myself as much as I could. Possibly. I've gone above and beyond what I thought was even possible for me. I've joined in rejoicing with those who rejoice. I've wept with those who weep. I live in harmony as much as I can. I'm not proud. I associate with humble people. All of those things, if possible, as much as it depends on you. Sometimes we go into situations with a lot more power than we think we have. We go into situations where saying, hey, I'm sorry, should not have responded that way, is way more powerful than we could ever think, and we're just not willing to say the words because Robert was an idiot, and I shouldn't have to apologize to Robert because he was an idiot. But saying I'm sorry changes the whole day. Because now that person's got to consider, now, wait a second. He's thought about his actions for a little bit. He probably didn't actually mean to come off the way he came off. I wonder what's going on in his life. What can I do to minister to him? What can I do? How can I get involved in that? If possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. But the wisdom from above, the wisdom that God gives, you want to know if the things going through your head are godly wisdom or it's your own, the wisdom that God gives is going to establish peace. It's going to establish right relationship. It's going to be gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruit. It's not going to be, well, actually, it's this way because I said it was this way. And Adam Johnson's just a really smart guy. It's not going to be like that. Wisdom from above is going to love peace and cultivate it and establish it. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. We've got to make peace. We need to find peace. We must make peace. There are situations in our lives where peace is stolen from us. Let's take it back. Make some new. Be awkward. Be weird. Hey, I'm not sure if you remember it, but like 3 days ago, I said something really stupid to you. Should not have said that. I'm sorry. Remember that time I did this other thing? Should not have done that. I'm sorry. We have to make peace. By the way, acting that out in your life is fun. It's awkward. It's fun. Seeing shock on people's face is kind of fun. I thought you were a jerk. I am a jerk. Don't mean to be. And then lastly, we have to share peace. 1 Corinthians 3 to 11 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in him in every way, in all speech and knowledge. In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction, for it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by members of Chloe's people, that there is rivalry among you. We have to share peace. We share a lot of things. We share responsibility with one another. I think I skipped some of that passage. We have to share. We share in responsibility for one another. We share in love for one another. I'm going to turn to that because I want to read what I had. All right, I'm going on. We have to share the peace that we have with everybody else. Because you have an answer for people's problems that they may not know. You have an answer for people's situations that they may not know anything about. And maybe it's that they need to make peace, right? Maybe they know Jesus, but they've got to go out and fix that problem. That's a conversation that you can have. Hey, did you know that you did this? And this is how they felt about that. Sometimes they didn't know. Sometimes they didn't know. Sometimes people out there don't know who Jesus is. This is Christmas. Everybody out there is saying Christmas. There used to be this big thing, or everybody's just saying happy holidays. That has really gone by the wayside. People in Walmart tell you Merry Christmas. That's great. People are talking about Christmas. We won that battle. Now we need to tell them what Christmas is. Why we celebrate it. The reality is we don't celebrate the same Christmas that everybody else does. I celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. They might celebrate the birth of the flying spaghetti monster and the tree that he gets to, whatever. Whatever. But we're talking about Christmas. So now I get to celebrate who Jesus is. If you drive through the city of Christmas right now, you see scripture in a public park. That's phenomenal. That's really exciting. You still got the beach scene at the end. It's obscene. It's really nonsense. But I get to talk about Jesus. He is my peace. Your peace. We need to share him with the world. Because I'm dependent on Jesus, and hey, that's how I got through this situation in my life that really sucked. This is how I got through this thing with this person. This is how I live in my relationship, because this is how we do whatever. Share that. Because you have it, and they need it. And if you don't have it, you need it. And let's go back through the last 17 or 18 pages of my notes here. Is there stuff we got to do? Jesus came as a Prince of Peace. He was born that way. The angels declared once Jesus was born that God was glorified and peace was possible on earth. We get busy. We get overwhelmed. We don't want to lose our peace. Don't put it on a shelf somewhere and forget that it's there. Don't let it be stolen from you. Especially during this season when we can share it. As we leave today, we need to go out and find some peace. There might be stuff going on in your life that sucks. Stuff going on in my life that sucks. I need peace in that. There might be stuff in your relationships that you need to have a conversation and fix some stuff and make some peace. We need to do that. And we need to share it because there's people out there who are broken and need the love of Jesus. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of Christ, to which you are also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. And that's where we end today. Let peace rule and reign. Everybody's attention is on that baby. We may as well get ready for some food. It's fun what you see from up here. Yeah, good things. Babies are wonderful. Wonderful. So we need some peace. Find it, make it, and share it. Amen? Let's pray. God, you are good and holy. Thank you for this day with these wonderful people. Thank you for the fellowship that we are about to embrace and enjoy together. God, help us to be people of peace. Help us to walk in peace, to want peace, to love peace. Help us to find that in you and in you alone. God, I ask that you would help us to be peacemakers as we go about our lives. As much as it depends on us to live at peace with everyone, help us to be different than we've ever been to before. People that would be called after your name. God, help us to share your peace with the world as they need it desperately. Help us to declare the wonder of that statement, for a child was born. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. I ask for blessings on each one of these people. We ask for healing miracles on those that need those today. And we thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.